and the beat goes on. Yeah, come spend the night inside my sugar walls.
Hot Yards LA, season 2. You can get season 1 on DVD. Oh, boy. Coming off a 3-week family vacation. Won't even want to talk about that. Although I know I'm sitting here sweating my balls off in a 100-degree room, but I'll take 100 degrees in the southwest over 88 degrees and humid in the northeast any day of the week. Too much to talk about. Not going to sit here and bore you with fantasy football, even though I got my hands on a Beckett fantasy football publication. Those things are the worst, but they're the best at the same time. But any publication that says Monty Ball is worth picking over Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, and I don't want any part of that fantasy land. I want to stay in reality. And reality is Johnny Football. Can't get away from it. Strap on, folks. It's going to be like this for the next, I don't know, 10 years. Oh, Jonathan Football. Caught with the photo of him rolling up a $10 bill, $20 bill, $100 bill if it's ringing Johnny Football. Putting his necklace, his gold chain that has been inside, outside of his shirt all day, putting it inside. He's obviously snorting something. What, you know, you got to give the guy a little bit of credit for going out and living, but how dumb can you be to be out in a public restroom in Las Vegas knowing that the guy was like right up in his grill taking a picture? You think Johnny could get the camera taken away somehow, but he's obviously rolling up some kind of bill to snort something. As funny as it may sound, I hope he's snorting Ritalin or Coke or something, not snorting heroin. But Jesus, John, how could you do this? Especially now. Upon us, the season upon us, just giving people ammunition, fuel to the fire. But I love watching. I'm addicted. I'm addicted as well, John. We all have our addictions. I'm addicted to watching the fucking NFL Network. And the training camp is awful as it is. But I tell you, it gives you little moments of hope, like watching Johnny Football run an option. I wouldn't be surprised if Kyle Shanahan, Mike Pettine throw a little bit of option in there with Johnny Football. Should anyway. But here's the thing. You've never been an athlete under such a microscope. Everything the guy does, every practice is tweeted about. Oh, he's way behind Brian Hoyer. Here's the thing. I think Brian Hoyer is actually a decent quarterback. I think he's a solid guy. I think he's a guy that you can win with. I don't know if he's a guy you can win the Super Bowl with, but stranger things have happened. But it's not like he's going to, you know, bend over and let Johnny take it to him. Although at some point, he's a freaking rookie, for Christ's sakes. Johnny Manziel's a rookie. Every single thing he does is scrutinized. Oh, man. I would love it. His press conference was awesome, by the way. Johnny Football's went off on a tangent. You know, I like to have fun. Nobody leads a team like I lead a team. I wish he would just be like, you know, nobody leads a team like I need a team. I'm just trying to come in here and do the right things. Whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Great. I don't know why one reporter just doesn't hold up a big placard, big picture of him right in front of Johnny's face and be like, okay, what were you doing here, John? Can you explain this picture? But with the media establishment being what it is, none of these guys want to do anything. No, nobody really wants to rock the boat. If you can rock the boat, you're going to get fired because the whole thing's ran by mega corporations that are sponsoring the whole thing. It's a beauty of internet radio. I'll say what the fuck I want, but I don't have the money to go fly to Cleveland and get in Johnny Manziel's face with a big picture and be like, explain yourself, John. Nor that I would either. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, Johnny. You can do that all you want. I figure somebody would be able to do that. Maybe I could start some kind of Kickstarter website thing and I can get some money to go fly out to these training camps. Although I am going to Dallas Cowboys training camp on Saturday, but I don't think I'm going to be that obnoxious to go up to somebody and throw a picture in front of their face and be like, explain this. I'll go to Cowboys training camp and talk to Jerry Jones and read a passage from Boys Will Be Boys by Jeff Perlman and be like, hey, could you explain why you told some waitress that you could smell a cunt from here? I'm paraphrasing. I'm not saying that. That's not me. That's Jerry Jones, but I won't say that. I'll be on my best behavior. Best behavior. Ray Rice, huge controversy. And, you know, I'm the first one to jump all over the back of Goodell. whatever the fuck it is. But, you know, you got to have a little bit more information. Two games seems light, and everybody in the, you know, in the world is saying it's light, and it does seem a little bit light, but I still have not seen the pictures of Ray Rice supposedly hitting his wife, now his wife, then fiance, supposedly hit it with an uppercut. Now, Ray Rice may not be the biggest guy in terms of stature, but he's probably strong as hell and probably stronger than any person you know personally. If he's going to hit a woman with an uppercut, he would shatter her teeth, chiclets being spit all over the place. But the next day, they were fine. Look, I'm not Stephen A. Smith. I'm not going to sit here and say she deserved it, which is not what he said. I don't even get into the First Take ESPN crowd, although I do talk about it because you can't help but to talk about it. But the woman was freaking fall down drunk, you know? I don't know if anybody's ever been with a woman who gets fall down drunk and just gets crazy. I'm not saying you can be provoked to hit a woman. I think that is inexcusable to an extent. But at least try to, you know, calm her down. I don't know. If you see the picture with an uppercut to the face, that's a little bit different. I think Goodell would be in a little bit different, you know. He wouldn't, two games wouldn't be able to suffice, but who knows, man? Maybe just kind of mushed her face. She was getting his face. Who knows? You know, women can kill someone too. If Ronda Rousey came at someone and started beating the hell out of you, you would try to fight back, wouldn't you? No, I'm not comparing, you know, the average woman to Ronda Rousey, but you just don't know. What are all the facts? I don't sit here and know them. Well, you got that guy. Well, look what happened in Texas with that Texas Tech player, Nigel Bethel III, and that video came out. DB, Texas Tech, from Miami, huge recruit, playing a pickup basketball game with some Texas Tech players, and the video's out. You can see it on Deadspin on the internet or whatever. She came down. He fouled her a little bit hard. She came at him, threw a freaking, pushed him in the face, and he punched her in the face and broke her eye socket. Now, is that funny? A little. I don't give a fuck. It's a little funny because she's all right, but went to a grand jury. Grand jury refused to bring charges upon him. Saying he was provoked. He's been suspended 3 games from Texas Tech. Big deal. So against, you know, Texas Tech, way college football is now, he's going to lose a game against what? Townsend State, South Carolina State. 3 games in the college football career is nothing. But they refused to bring charges on in Texas. Oh, even though he clocked her. Oh, that's, you know, terrible. Caught on film, but she instigated it. All I'm saying is with Ray Rice, I think it's a little bit lenient as well, but you don't know. Where's the video of him punching her in the face, supposedly? She could have just been friggin' fall down drunk and he dragged her out of an elevator. Fuck, they were in Vegas or Atlantic City, one of the two, same fucking thing. She's probably blackout fall down drunk. Everybody says Ray Rice is a good guy. I don't know. But you talk about women beating the NFL. Some say it's a problem. It's true, but if you look at it feels like it. But if you look at the numbers, say in the NFL, out of every 1,000 players, there's 4.7. I don't know why I pulled that number out of, but I saw it somewhere. 4.7 per 1,000 guys get arrested for domestic violence. And then you extrapolate that over the same age group of regular, quote unquote, regular folks. It's 6 per 1,000. So they're saying there's less domestic violence in the NFL compared to average people. I don't know. Take that what it will. Although Fred Davis, USC alumni, and a guy I thought was going to be a little bit better in the NFL than he's been, Washington player. Listen to James Brown and CBS. Now all of a sudden, after all these years, now it's dawning on that the Redskins could be inappropriate. So now it's inappropriate. But he comes, Fred Davis, lost my train of thought there for a second. Fred Davis, caught in a domestic dispute, simple assault, which can be anything. I thought this was hilarious, though. He saw his ex-girlfriend in a bar room or something with another guy. He grabs his ex-girlfriend, turns her around, shows her to the guy he's with. He says, "Why are you even with her? She don't have no ass." I don't understand guys and their freaking ass fetishes. You know, to me, a big fat ass is just nothing but a symbol of laziness. I wish it worked the same way with guys. I wish, you know, big beer guts were sexy to guys. Like, oh, here comes a big gut walking this way. Who's got the biggest gut in the bar? Oh, S in the P, want to get my me cool with them wicked G, hit skins ever quickly. Oh, sorry, little shoot from Salt and Pepper. Lost my mind. Fred Davis grabbed around, said she ain't got no ass. Then he grabbed a handful of dirt out of the flower pot and threw it at her. And his girlfriend, his ex-girlfriend at the time, grabbed a ketchup bottle and squirted ketchup at him. Good for Fred Davis, who's currently serving suspension for weed. But to be fair, the two-game suspension that Ray Rice is going to be serving, you know, it's nothing to the Adderall. Guys have Adderall with prescription, Brandon Browner. I think your boy Richard Sherman had a Adderall prescription as well. But if they get caught with Adderall, that's 4 games for that. You know, Cedric Benson in a bar fight, 3 games. You can see that. How about Terrell Pryor? Get 5-game suspension in the NFL for getting free tattoos. You know, Josh Gordon, he gets suspended for smoking weed, but that's just a matter of stupidity more than anything. You would think Ray Rice would get a little bit more. You'd think 4 games would be a little bit more, but you know, bring the information out. Let the shit go to trial. You know? Well, you should have put a caveat there and a little asterisk said, 2 games until trial. Found guilty, see what happens. He didn't end up marrying the girl after. So I don't know. But that's an easy one to jump on, so might as well jump on it. Guess suspend guys for weed. But it's not even so much suspending him for weed, suspending him for stupidity. Josh Gordon found again driving around smoking weed. Shit, how do these people just get, like Johnny Manziel getting caught with the photo, how do you just drive around smoking weed? Shit, you can't pull over somewhere, roll a couple pre-joints, go sit in a parking lot somewhere, smoke a joint and get rid of it, and you have to be riding around with it? Suspended for stupidity and arrogance more than anything. But that's the case. It happens all the time. Of course, it's a bad message the NFL puts out there for women until October, where it's going to be all about wearing pink, breast cancer awareness. Like, there's anybody in the planet who's not aware that there's this thing called breast cancer. And even though it's like something like $1 for every $100 that the NFL gets on the pink gear that they get back, that they give back to the Cancer Society or whatever the context is. I don't know. There's a good movie called Pink Ribbons Incorporated. Should watch. But, you know, Ray Rice grew up in that era of Eazy-E. I may be a woman beater, but I ain't no pussy eater. Eazy-E, you'd rather admit to being a woman beater than freaking going down on a woman? Crass. I don't know if Stephen A. Smith's going to get away with this. Supposedly he's leaving ESPN now. He didn't even say anything all that horrible, I guess. He's just big. Women don't provoke. But they can't speak as articulately on First Take as I can here. Or I don't know if articulate is the right word, but as freely as saying, hey, she's freaking fall down drunk and attacking someone. Maybe that's what happened with Ray Rice. We don't know. But we can all cast judgment on him, myself included. What the hell? 2 games doesn't seem like a lot. Seems like one of those comma things where Ray Rice is not going to have a big season and Ray Rice is going to get hurt. Don't want him to get hurt. I've actually always respected him, but don't want the Ravens doing anything in the AFC anyway. But they could. Although it really comes down to about 6 relevant teams, it seems like at this point, when you look at the NFL odds to win it, really, this is why I'm going to eschew doing some kind of thorough preview this year, because you're really only talking about Seattle, Denver, San Fran, Patriots, Green Bay, New Orleans, and then there'll be some kind of outlier. Maybe Jacksonville, 200 to 1. Just throw some money down on that. 200 to 1, but no, Jacksonville's not going to win Super Bowl. It's really going to come down to about 5 or 6 teams. One of those teams is Seattle. Growing through that shit right now with Marshawn Lynch. People jumped on Pete Carroll, and I will jump on Pete Carroll, but the best of them, although I respect Pete Carroll, I think he might be the best coach in the game. He's a top three, if not the best. But Pete Carroll came out the other day and saying, I expect Marshawn to be here. He's under contract. We expect him to be here. It gets a little funny with that contract word, though, Pete. You know, you people break contracts all the time, every walk of life, except NFL players. NFL players have no recourse other than to hold out. And as soon as they hold out, they're going to get fined like $30,000 a day. They missed 2 days of NFL training camp, which means shit to someone like Marshawn Lynch, who knows all the players anyway, probably to his benefit. Because he doesn't have to get pounded on for 2 days. He misses 2 days, he makes more money than a chump like me makes in a year. But Pete Carroll's like, he's under contract. Well, Pete was under contract as well at USC, and he left. But there's nothing wrong with that. This is fucking America, isn't it? It's the problem with the NFLPA. They negotiate it as well. They have to wear it. The players have to wear it, unfortunately. But there should be some kind of buyout option. When you're dealing with the salary cap and how the cap changes from, 1 year to the next based, and it's a guessing game on how much the salary cap's actually going to change. It's just a different market. It's not a free market. I wish the players had some kind of buyout ability. So they say, I'm going to exercise my buyout ability. I'm going to try to sign as a free agent. If I try to sign as a free agent, then the team that's going to sign me can pay some kind of buyout. Similar thing to what coaches do. I mean, Pete was under contract. He left and went to Seattle. Fine, he bought it out. That's part of the contract. Players don't have that recourse. The only recourse they have is to sit and not do anything and lose money the whole year. They just can't all of a sudden become a free agent, especially if a team doesn't want to become a free agent. You know, it gets sticky. You really, contracts and whatnot, it gets sticky in a basically a socialist system where everybody's buying into the same freaking goal of the NFL. I don't know the goal, but the end game is the NFL's getting all the money anyway. You know, there should be some kind of recourse in how they can get out of these contracts if they feel like they got sucked. Ben Roethlisberger as well is claiming he wants out, saying he'd rather retire than leave the Steelers. Yeah, nice thing to say. But it's true. If they're going to change the rules of the game halfway through the contract, these guys should be able to get out of the contracts. Should just buy out of it. I don't know why the union NFLPA can't negotiate some kind of system where they could just buy out of it and let the guy go his own way. You could prorate that over a number of years. Doesn't have to say, oh, I'm going to buy out of this for $5 million this year. You know, the team that signs them, they can defer those costs is all I'm saying. They're kind of screwed, but it's not like Marshawn Lynch is some kind of beacon of professionalism anyways. You know, he's been nailed twice, I believe. Well, I know one time he got nailed for a hit and run. A hit and run! 3:30 in the morning in Buffalo. A criminal. He seemed like he survived that one pretty well. And then he had a DUI in 2012. Got pulled over at like 4 in the morning. He was supposed to be at a youth camp at 7 in the morning. And he got busted for that. But he's got his Family First Foundation. You know, family first. As long as you don't run him over on your way home from the bar. But on a contract, Pete, those words are a little bit much. It's not really a contract. It's a one-way street with these guys. Holdouts. Good to see Andre Johnson sign back up. Got to feel like for Andre Johnson, he's got that look of a guy who's being like, I'm going to be on that list of great players that never won a championship because he's stuck there in Houston. It's not like Houston's going to win anything in the next foreseeable future. This is make a trade to get Johnny Football. Well, yeah, off base there. Speaks in Texas. Primetime. Primetime Academy. Deion Sanders. Charter school from which he's been fired twice in about a matter of 3 months. He's been fired twice. Gonna get their charter pulled. Too much shenanigans going on. Improper financial management. Not complying with the air code. They got over almost $50,000 on meal subsidies, school lunches that they can't provide. Now, Deion, even though he started the school with his homie D.L. Wallace, now he calls him a crook, and he's heartless, and the children suffer from his devilish ways. Truth. After every Twitter feed, he follows it with truth. I swear, if you follow Deion Sanders on Twitter, it's like following the Iron Sheik on Twitter. You can't even, you like, this can't really be him. Follows everything with truth. Don't punish the kids with this for this fool. Even though the PTA for that school was saying there was no discipline, no follow through on the dress code, no education, no textbooks for months at a time, improper payments to staff, poor building conditions, missing laptops, poor academics. I think the lesson in Deion and a lot of these charter school owners is it's fucking hard to run a school, man. So much shit involved. So much you could skim off the top. I think a lot of these charter schools do. I think Primetime got caught up with it. Of course, on their charter statement saying that they can get kids scholarships that other schools can't. Anybody who's out there listening who has a kid who's in school, anybody who's claiming that they're going to get your kid a scholarship as a high school level is full of shit. Because those college coaches are so fucking thorough. If the kid can play at all, they're going to get a scholarship. Not going to be someone's going to go get it for him. The kid will earn it himself. So any school like Primetime Academy is saying they're going to get a kid scholarships. Full of shit. But they're gone. 2 years, Primetime out. If he was really serious about it, it seemed to me like he just lent his name to it. Shows up a couple times, couple cameo appearances. And then leaves it to guys now that he calls the devil running school. Hey, I'm going to go to business with you. And then a year later, I'm going to call you the devil. Truth. Deion Sanders. How about some more truth? Chris Cluey. An unbelievable story, really. I'll spare you the details. I'll give you the skinny version of it. Chris Cluey, punter for the Vikings, ended up, got cut from the Vikings, claims that he's being discriminated against because of his pro-gay marriage stance. I tell you, though, Chris, if you could really punt the ball at the same level that some of these other guys for less money, he's 31 years old. You know, same thing with the salary cap. You start to make that money, people are going to replace you with someone cheaper, especially if you're last in the league or next to last in the league for punts inside the 20, which to me always seems like an easy thing to do. Just dial down a little bit. Or if you want somebody to punt the ball from the 50, get someone who really can't punt that well, or somebody can punt wicked high. You can get a backup offensive lineman to catch the ball and just punt it wicked high. For Chris Cluey, some kind of big lawsuit. He's always not expecting to collect it. Like a $10 million lawsuit against the Vikings, and particularly because of the acts. And I've spoken about this before, of Mike Pryfer, the special teams coach for the Vikings. I'm talking about a guy who's born on second base and thought he just hit a double. His old man was a longtime special teams coach in the NFL, Chuck Pryfer. I think he was with like the Packers for a number of years and a few different guys. Like that stuff is hereditary. Like Mike Pryfer knows what he's doing because his old man was a special teams coach, which I've always talked about being the easiest fucking coach in the NFL. They run every team in the league runs one punt, one kickoff, and one field goal. And punt returns, you just got to cover your gaps and make sure everybody's blocked. This shit isn't fucking rocket science. But Mike Pryfer said he wanted to get all the fags on an island and blow them up. Oh, come on. He was just trying to be funny. Shit, come on, Cluey. It's a little bit of snitching, isn't it? You're snitching on a guy for making a joke. Although here's the thing with Pryfer. He's been suspended 3 games, which is actually more than Ray Rice. I guess you make a joke about the gays, you're going to get suspended more for actually hitting a woman. But he denied it. You know, the cover-up is worse than the crime. He denied it in January, and then in May, finally he admitted to it. It's a 30-page investigation on this shit. I'm not a waste of time and resources on anything. Oh, why? Did this guy, we're going to make a 30-page investigation. We're going to put all this time and effort to seeing if this guy actually said that he didn't like gays and try to make a couple bad jokes about him. So the guy should get fired about that. I'm pro-gay as an ex-guy. I think gays are funny. I think they got good taste, good style. But if somebody doesn't like them, somebody doesn't like them. What are you going to do? It's a religious thing. You can't stifle somebody's opinion on it. But Pryfa just played it so wrong. Played it typical. I'm not a role model for my children to be anti-gay. Even though in this day and age you can find anything. Mike Pryfa's kid had a series of tweets where he was calling his homies gays and fags. And he's like, I ain't no fag. But it's just the way, you know, some people speak like that. But three games, you know, I don't know. Speaking of gays, Tony Dungy got himself in hot water, worthy of the ESPN bottom line, for saying he don't know if he would take Michael Sam. It's not worth it. Yeah, no shit, ain't worth it. Because of the things I've talked about before, ad nauseum. And I'll say it again, a kickoff season two will be a theme. What are you going to do if the best player in the team calls another guy a fag and Michael Sam ends up overhearing it? Robert Quinn calls, I don't know, Tavon Austin, man, you're running like a fag. And Michael Sam hears it and puts it in the ESPN bottom line. Now Robert Quinn has to be suspended for saying the word fag, even though he meant by that word somebody a little bit less masculine. You know, it's not like he's literally taking people that are homosexual, put them on an island, looking to blow it up. Sure, there's no place for intolerance, but you can't just start banning people from doing shit because they're intolerant. The world is founded on intolerance, founded on tribalism for not liking somebody who's a little bit different than you. It's what are you going to do? And to just take a guy's career away from saying those words, I don't know career, but I wouldn't be, bottom line, Tony Dungy's right. It's not worth it. It's not worth bringing a guy in who's a marginal player who can get someone else who's going to do what you need him to do and what you want him to do and not have the risk of somebody throwing out the F-bomb, which has changed now from fag. How about the word queer? I love the word queer. If you throw the word queer out, does that mean homosexual? Does that mean homosexual, queer? To me, it means weird, odd, different. And I think the word fag and gay is kind of mean that same thing, too. You're gay. You're a little bit different. It's not like I'm going to round up all the gays and drag them in the back of my truck. It's just a different thing. But, hey, it's the world we live in. The PC police are out in full force. They got their antennas everywhere nowadays, except on this show. Thank goodness I only have about 6 listeners because somebody somewhere would be offended what I'm saying. Truth. Deion Sanders style. Legion of Boom. Rules are changing for Richard Sherman and crew. Point of emphasis now in the NFL. They're going to really crack down on holding, defensive holding, because they say that the Legion of Boom, Seattle's Seahawks defense, is holding. And that was the same. Here's the common thread on this. This is the same comment made from the Patriots. I think it was like 2004 or something like that. Peyton Manning's team, once again, bitching that the Patriots' defensive backs were holding and they couldn't get off the line of scrimmage. Now, all of a sudden, Seattle playing Peyton Manning's team in the championship game. Pats, it was AFC championship. Now it's the Super Bowl. And all of a sudden, now the league is, point of emphasis, you can't hold. Point of emphasis, you can't play defense. That will be interesting, though, because if they really start... What happens is in these types of circumstances is Pete Carroll can deny it all he wants and Seattle can deny it all they want, but they're telling these players to hold every single time on the expectation that the referee won't throw it every single time because the referee knows if I throw a fucking flag every single pass play, I'm going to get fired. I'm going to get shit on. The league office is going to come down on me. So what Pete Carroll and some of these other coaches are doing on the offensive line as well for a number of years, they're saying, fuck it, dare them. Dare them to throw that flag. And that's one of the reasons why Seattle does so well at home. Look, Seattle's a great team, and they deserve to win, and they'll be there next year for the most part. But this point of emphasis, all of a sudden the league's, you know, the rules are the rules, right? What the fuck? These referees have a hard enough time calling penalties as it is. Now, with that back of the head, hey, we really want you to call this, wink, wink. It's going to have a little bit of effect. Didn't have a real big effect, or effect, rather, coming back to school and going to teach an English class this year. It doesn't really have that big of an effect on the Patriots, because for 2 years in a row after that, they made the AFC Championship. But it'll be interesting to see what happens this year with Seattle. I think Seattle's due for a little bit of a fall. They're still going to be one of the best teams in the league. Speaking of Peyton, Peyton Manning was on TV the other day claiming he's getting all types of offers to throw in audibles for businesses. What a brilliant guerrilla marketing tactic, by the way. Some company goes to Peyton and says, you know, because the mics are so on the field right now, and he got compensated because he was throwing the word Omaha out, even though Omaha has been used, 10, 15 years as an audible in the offensive line. Omaha Steaks ended up giving him some money, I believe. I could have misspoke there. Some money exchanged hands on that. Now there are companies hitting up Peyton Manning all the time, say, hey, say, you know, plentyoffish.com as one of your audibles, and we're going to pay you all this money. It's a slippery slope. They might not be able to get to Peyton, not this year anyway, but there'll be some quarterback down the line, especially in a preseason game. Hey, kid, you're not going to make the team anyways. You know, you push farmersonly.com, and we're going to give you, you know, 100 grand. Push that in a game. I like it. It's the guerrilla marketing in me. I think it's the way to go. Oh, I'm already tired of the Peyton Manning shit. Oh, he's 38 years old. He's 38 years old. I think I've been a little bit more sensitive too because I just turned 38 this summer. So anytime I hear that shit, I cringe. But it's such a fucking cheap talking point. Oh, he's 38 years old. He might freaking next hit, he might just turn to dust. I don't know why they compare these guys. You know, a 38-year-old in 2014 is not nearly the same as a 38-year-old, even in like 1992. These guys are in way better shape. These guys are professionals. They've been taking care of their bodies. They're not like Kenny Stabler back in the 70s smoking cigarettes on the sideline. Or Joe Montana probably pounding 15 Cokes a fucking game during the game. These guys just know so much more. And now they can't get hit. Oh, hey, we got a call on the season 2 premiere. Let's go to the lines. What do I got to hit to open this up? I'm good. Who's on the line?
How you doing, Slim? It's your old partner, Engels.
Oh, kid, what is your deal? Well, give me something about the Dallas Cowboys I didn't know.
Dez Bryant looks fantastic.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't know that. Have you seen his mom?
I've not seen her. I don't even know if she's out of high school yet.
What's the deal? What do you got going on over there? You just walk around and look like you're trying to do something important?
Pretty much just walk around the field, you know, kind of play grab ass. That's pretty much it.
You're pretty good at that. What?
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm looking to come to a camp on Saturday. What's the deal? What's going to happen? Give me the fucking tour. What am I going to do when I get there? Am I just going to sit there holding my dick and looking like I'm quasi-important? What are we going to do?
Yeah, well, outside of where the fields are, they call it Jerry World, and it's probably, I don't know, probably about the size of 5 football fields. It's an area where there's all this bark mulch laid down, and they have kids rides. They have the Hall of Fame truck, which is an 18-wheeler with the trophies and, you know, kind of a interactive Hall of Fame exhibit. Then they have a bunch of other stuff, like a live live show going on, and they have some retired players there signing autographs. So it's kind of a family-oriented thing for, you know, the crazy Cowboy fans. And then where you'll be with me, we'll be kind of in this VIP section that's separate from the masses, and then we'll go out on the field, and you can go tell everybody how good you are.
Yeah, well, I hope my reputation doesn't precede me. But what is the deal? Do you see grown men crying and shit looking to get freaking autographs? What's the autograph situation? Like, not that I want any.
You know, the autograph situation's interesting because you see the crazy people that are there every single day with the helmets, you know, just going nuts. Literally, I just got off the field. There was a grown man about 40 years old, dressed up in full pads, everything, Jason Witten. I mean, looked exactly like him.
Oh, did Jason Witten go over there and
No, no, Jason Witten, though. Jason Witten and Dez are probably the best signers out of the big guys on the team. But people go nuts for these guys. I mean, there's about 5,000 people up there today. You know, you get a lot of see all kinds. People that drive out from Texas that spend this as their summer break coming out today.
Could you potty with these guys at all? Could you potty with them? Could you find out where they're at?
Yeah, the players are staying right there. They're all staying. Basically, the fields are attached to a residence inn. There's about 220 rooms in the residence inn, and it's all blocked for all the interns, all the marketing people, everybody that comes out from Texas. They all get here about July 8th to start setting up camp, and all the players are all staying in there. Just imagine a big residence inn with a fence around it, really no cars in the middle, and just kind of players walking around shooting hoops all over the place.
Kid, why don't you offer up to put up some kind of shuttle and drive them to strip clubs?
They already got a marketing bus that does that.
Do they really?
It's basically like kind of like a tour bus wrapped in cowboy stuff with some flat screens and couches. And, it sounds like it makes the rounds. I don't know exactly where it goes, but I know it goes out.
Are you on a first-name basis with Jerry yet or what?
Jerry Jr., yeah, but not the big man, no.
Kid, am I going to meet Jerry Jr. or what?
Maybe if you're a good boy.
Yeah. Well, then forget that. Yeah.
Hey, real quick, how's Boston?
Oh, it's fine. Keep freaking seeing all my degenerate friends who are half of them hooked on OxyContin and the other half are in bad marriages. So I'm kind of caught in the middle of both of them.
there you go. Yeah. You're in purgatory.
When are we going to get you back on the show? Are you going to come back on the show or what?
I definitely want to. I won't be able to do it for a couple weeks. Like I said, Sunday is a scrimmage. Week after that, I'm out of town. And that following weekend, I think I can be back on. But I'll keep following and keeping the show going for you. I was listening, and I figured you need a little burst of energy.
I did. The Saturday, there's full practice, or am I just going to go down there and watch some kind of walkthrough for about 45 minutes, and that's it?
They just put on pads. Yesterday was the first practice, the pads. Ever since that new collective bargaining agreement went through, the days of two-a-days, and excessive hitting are done. But today, I mean, they were going at it. I mean, they were doing some running drills, and they were, throwing deep balls. It was a full-blown practice today. A couple guys got carted off, no one in particular. But it's just amazing to see kind of how fast these guys get hurt, and then it's next man up, and it's like they never existed.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing how many guys that can really ball. I know, and then just throw them away. Is there any place I can duck around the corner and pound beers and freaking smoke weed before I go to the show, go to the practice or what?
Yeah, we can do that. I mean, we could do that at one of the bars around there, no problem.
Yeah. I don't want that. All right, well, get back on the show when you can, and I'm going to hit you up. I'm going to be on there Saturday.
All right, talk to you soon, bud.
All right, man, later. That should be fun, going to the freaking Cowboys camp, I guess, even though I can't stand the Cowboys, but one of those things that, Moving on. How about Jimmy Irsay throwing $100 bills at camp to anybody who would take one? And first glance, you're like, oh, what a philanthropic guy throwing $100 bills. But of course, throwing $100 bills at fans like for Jimmy Irsay is like throwing, a chump like me flicking dimes at people. He knows they're going to turn around and spend it back on the clubhouse anyways and merchandise. But here's the real one that really freaking drew me offsides with the Colts this year. They had a big contest. They're offering up $500,000, which is substantial money, of course, to the fan that could guess the exact weather for every single game, including preseason games, and whether or not the Colts would have the roof closed or opened during the game. What a fucking scam. They could offer $300 billion. No one's going to fucking get the weather for every fucking game, including preseason games. Are you kidding me? We're talking about September, October, November. It could, especially if they go to climates like New England. It has to be at the kickoff, but it could be 80 degrees one day and fucking 35 degrees the next day. What a scam. St. Louis tried to pull the same thing, marketing scams, although chumps like me talk about this shit. St. Louis tried to have somebody pick the schedule in exact order and the right day of the week for all 16 games. They're offering up like $500,000 too. One guy did get eight. That's fucking one guy. It's half of them, which is still fairly impressive. They ended up giving him some kind of ticket package or something. I don't know what that, you know, what the odds would be on something like that. It's like, what's his name there? Warren Buffett offering up the same thing for the basketball tournament. If you get every game right, big fucking deal. I could say that too. Yeah. Let's talk college football for a minute. Time flying by, as you know. Skip Bayless, whom I can't stand, actually came out and said something for once I agree with. Why don't they just let the boosters bid on these guys? I mean, the whole amateurism thing, I've talked about this at length. There's no such thing as an amateur, especially when teams are getting, all these schools are getting multi-million dollar complexes. All these complexes now, for any school that's worth a salt, they have, you know, hundreds of millions of dollar complexes. What is he? He's right. Let the boosters pay these kids. Then they get competitive. This is America, for fuck's sake. There's a market for it. Let the guys make money. Violate the spirits of amateurism. Screw that. He's absolutely right. I would love to see the alumni from certain schools just stop ponying up bucks and buying these guys. It doesn't even necessarily guarantee success. Look at Major League Baseball. It's really not much of a salary cap there. You know, it's not like the Yankees are running away with it every year because they don't. They make the playoffs, obviously. Look, you look at the Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Red Sox, and everybody else as far as money. Look at the Red Sox. They're in last place. It doesn't guarantee anything. For once, Skip Bayless, I actually agree with that fool. This is a great one. Got to include the bands as well. Ohio State, the best band, best damn band in the land. Who's really, if you get a chance to YouTube this shit, it's really kind of cutting edge. They're using all types of computer fucking algorithms and shit. I don't even know if that's the right word. Zeros and ones to come up with these elaborate matches and shit. They had some kind of video game homage to Pac-Man the other day, but it's really kind of some impressive shit. Anyways, the Ohio State band director, the guy who's been with them for years, for like 30 years, his whole life is Ohio State band. They ended up canning him because of, essentially because of this thing called the Midnight Run, Midnight Ramp they had, where they had all these band kids had to go around in their underwear and go do their routines in their underwear. What kind of world do we live in where we can't let band geeks be fucking band geeks? You know, we all went to high school. Hey, some of my best friends were band geeks. Still are, Rick. Still a band geek. But let these guys go, man. Let this guy, give me a fucking break. And they're saying this guy, who was a sousaphone player in the fucking band in the 70s or 80s or something, his whole life was Ohio State band. They're saying he'd been trying to curtail all this quote-unquote hazing. But the parents wouldn't have it. Evidently, in one of the things in the affidavit, I don't know if that's the right word either, one of the things where they're bitching about this guy, that he dropped F-bombs on kids. Oh, heaven forbid that the guy drop F-bombs on kids. They fire the poor bastard, even though they're cutting edge and the best damn band in the land. Oh, I love band geeks. Can't go on without it. Like Florida A&M, they killed someone. I don't know if that guy got fired. I'm sure he got fired. More in the college sporting world. The never-ending feud between Steve Spurrier and Dabo Sweeney continues. Dabo Sweeney compared himself to Steve Spurrier. He's like, you know what? We're just completely two different people, like Pluto and Mars. And Steve Spurrier, the older I get, the more I appreciate the HBC, the head ball coach, the more I appreciate him. He's like, Dabo's so dumb, he still thinks there's nine planets. Of course, anybody who knows anything, in 2005 or 2006, they no longer said Pluto is a planet. Walked right into that one. Good for Spurrier. He keeps winning. He's good for the game. He's one of the few coaches, I think, that's actually sincere in his insincerity, if that makes any sense. PSU, Penn State. Jay Paterno suing the school for $1 million, saying he was wrongfully fired. Oh, Jay, just go away. Really, the school should just sue you for being wrongfully hired. See what I just did there? I took fired and hired and switched them. Talk about nepotism. What the fuck? Like, Jay Paterno was really qualified to run Penn State. You know, another guy, born on third base, thought he hit a triple. And then a guy named Bill Kenny, whom I knew a little bit. You know, he wouldn't know me, but I knew him more than he knew me. The fucking clown. Got in, knew somebody, the right thing. He's suing for $1 million, too. Go find another job. How about that? But how about Penn State hiring this freaking... what a sad... What the hell? This incompetent woman who had been fired from Tulane for incompetence, who just recently resigned from Cal because of all the money that they have lost. They have something with Cal, the 1-11 Cal Golden Bears. She left the program with almost $500 million in debt. Left them. 44% graduation rate at Cal. And these guys are supposed to be smart kids are getting into Cal, right? Like anybody you meet off the street that's not a football player that gets into Cal is usually a pretty bright person. It's a hard school to get into. 44% graduation rate, which is the worst. I'm on 72 major conference programs in the NCAA. Hired Sandy Barber to be the new athletic director at Penn State. Talk about look at us. We've changed our ways. We don't tolerate little kids being touched in the shower anymore. We're going to hire a progressive woman to be the new AD. Talk about somebody with no qualifications to be at. They go ahead. This woman's like, well, I was surprised because I just got, I just was asked to resign from Cal after a 1-11 football season. Now I'm going to turn around and restore the Nittany Lions to greatness. Terrible. Talk about overreaction in the PC world we live in. Speaking of Cal, here's a story that hasn't gotten much traction lately, but I think should have some legs. California State Senator Leland Yee, who's been investigated for taking bribes, several bribes through various businesses and whatnot. But here's the big one, and I can't wait till ESPN maybe decides to run with this story. He's fired for taking a bribe from an unnamed owner of an NFL team to pass favorable workers' compensation legislation against NFL players in California. So essentially, if someone gets hurt in California, this owner was paying the state senator to vote against the players and saying, oh, they're not entitled to workers' compensation as much as, a jury would find. It's amazing, really, when it comes down to three guys, right? It reeks of Al Davis. If it was Al Davis, I would exonerate it. That's just the way he is. Dirtiest player in the game. But you got, Spanos from the Chargers, and then DeBartolo's nephew and San Fran and Al Davis's kid, Prince Valium from Spaceballs, running the Raiders. That's a big fucking deal, no? I mean, you got an owner bribing a government official to vote one way, although it's been called lobbying for a number of years. But you can't just do that. You can't just bribe this guy to go against the players. That'd be bullshit if I was a player. Almost as much as Donald Sterling. At least Donald Sterling was just spouting ignorance and was caught, unbeknownst to him. This guy was paying money so he didn't have to pay players more money. Unreal. To me, that's a big story. If that guy's name comes out, it should be stripped from his ownership. I'd be pissed if I was the players. These owners aren't fucking starving. People pay to watch players play. They don't pay to watch owners sit in the fucking box. Any jack-off can own an NFL team. I don't care what anybody says. It's been proven throughout the years. It's Shad Khan know about shit. He knew how to make bumpers on a fucking trucks. That's how he made his money. I don't know. See if this story gets legs. Funny how some things, some people get raked over the coals for some things. Other people don't. For everything that Johnny Manziel does, he gets raked over the coals. For everything that Gronkowski does, he gets a free pass. Oh, that's just Gronk being Gronk. Oh, Gronk's got, you watch Gronkowski, and I respect Gronkowski probably only because I'm a Patriot fan. I want him to do well. But he's got such an Eddie Haskell vibe to him, He's got that smirk to him, oh, fuck you guys. I'll do whatever the fuck I want. And I got, you know, four playmates sitting in my house to go do whatever I want. But Johnny Manziel does anything. Like snorting coke. What kind of world do we live in? The guy can't even fucking snort Ritalin or coke in a bathroom anymore without being raked over the coals. Oh, Johnny. Oh, Jonathan. It's the beginning of a long second season. Oh, what else we got? There's always all types of shit. Minnesota Stadium, talking about another useless owner, getting sued because they had some kind of, because the taxpayers, like all these stadiums, ended up flipping the bill for all these NFL billionaires that can't afford to build a stadium. The, I don't want to say PETA, but whatever it may be, the people who care about that shit are all up in arms because birds are evidently flying into the glass dome stadium and just fucking dying at. I guess it's not that funny, but at the same time, it is kind of funny. You're just watching a game, all these birds just crashing in the freaking top of the stadium and just peeling down the stadium. If they're really smart, if they're playing the Ravens, they should just release a bunch of Ravens and some smatter up against the friggin' top of the dome. That's the type of stuff I sit around and think about, folks. Birds hitting the top of a fucking dome. And the fact that Matt Stafford, quarterback for the Detroit Lions, was, this one fucking blew my mind. 2-28 in his career versus teams that were 500 or better for the season that they played in. What the fuck? Talk about it. The guy basically can't beat a team that's any good. I know quarterbacks get both too much the credit and the blame for what goes on. Although if you look at the true elite quarterbacks, they're always up there and the team's always winning. If you look at the true elite quarterbacks, you know, after the first couple years, their teams generally do well. I don't think that's much of a stretch. Matt Stafford, 2-28 versus teams that are 500 or better. I got a bunch of more shit I need to talk about, but I'm running out of time. I'm probably going to go back to my cave and end up, you know, I still don't have to go back to school for another 2 weeks, even though we start football on Monday. Although it's non-padded football, so it's really not football. It doesn't really rub my rhubarb to watch a bunch of people, and not that it does to, yeah, you know what I'm getting at. Guys in no pads running around and do shit. It's not football. The NFL Network, how can they afford? Well, I know how they can afford to just put all these different correspondents at all these freaking teams. They have two people at every NFL camp. That's amazing. Shit, the NFL Network even busted off a white Randy Moss to cover one of these teams. White Randy Moss, I think that's sacrilegious. How can they put someone like that out there? Oh, they just dust off all types of people to go to New Orleans, who has this West Virginia. They're in this Greenbrier Resort, which is this multi-million-dollar resort they bought people in West Virginia just to lure an NFL team to this site. I don't know how you really make money off that, local businesses or whatever. But I'm telling you, I know they're probably getting taxpayer money somehow. But New Orleans, there, I can't stand New Orleans. I've gone on my record talking about Sean Payton and Drew Brees. Speaking of getting older and 38, Drew Brees claims he's going to play until he's in his mid to late 40s, and I bet you he does. Quarterbacks don't really get hit all that much anymore. And for some of the reasons I've already talked about, they're in much better shape. God, imagine if Peyton Manning plays to be 40, 41, 45, 46. They're already freaking bringing that 30. I'm going to count that. I'm telling you. We're going to keep a running count this year on how many times the announcer mentions that Peyton Manning is 38 years old. And then next year, we're going to see how many times they call him 39 years old. Last thing I got to leave before we go. I thought this was classic. Classless, but funny nonetheless. Cleveland Browns fan got caught and in trouble for pissing on Art Modell's grave. Came in all NWO style, bad guy wrestler style, had a Ravens jersey on, and then last second whipped off his Ravens jersey and Ed Reed jersey on, and then had a Lalo Zato 77 jersey. First of all, I didn't even know Lalo Zato ever played for the Browns. I always thought he was a Raider and a Bronco. And he pissed on the fucking guy's grave. Oh, how classless can you be? But that is the NFL. Classless organization, but one I cannot live without. That's it. Season 2 on the way. Follow us at Twitter at HotYardsLA.com. I'm out of here. I'm the coach. Talk to you later.